Over the past several days in America, there's been a parade, a big parade. This parade has not been one of fire trucks and floats. It's been, if you've watched the news, if you've read some things in the paper, it's been a parade of hearts. As we think about some of the recent events in our culture, we find that the hearts of people have been on public display. I've seen angry hearts. I've read about some sad hearts. There have been some evil hearts. There have been some hard hearts. We in America have seen some senseless hearts. We've also found some kind hearts. Americans over the past several days have shown us some fearful hearts, some thankful hearts, and some joyful hearts. As our nation wrestles with some major issues, and there are several right now, I'd like for us to give consideration to what the Bible says about the word heart. For 3 weeks, today, Lord willing, next Sunday, and then the Sunday after that, we want to study the word heart. If you're not aware of it, the word heart, that simple word, is a very important word in the Bible. In fact, there's so much information in the Bible about the word heart, I don't feel I can do justice to more than the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I don't think I can cover more than those five books in one sermon when we deal with the word heart. So we want to deal with the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible today. Then, Lord willing, next week we will look at Joshua through Malachi. Then week three, we will look at what the New Testament says when it comes to the word heart. We begin with Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says that there are hearts. And that it also indicates to us that the heart is a very important part of our being. If you look in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says that hearts can be evil. The text says in Genesis 6, verse 5, that the hearts are not only evil. The Bible also says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, that the heart can be evil continually. Day in and day out, the Bible says that the heart can be an evil thing. From sun up to sundown, hearts can be evil. We saw evil over the last week as far as some of the attacks that were on other people. God knows what is in the hearts of all people. The heart is something that's never hidden from Him. And if you skip over two chapters in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, you find there that the Bible says that the heart can be evil from man's youth. We're not born with an evil heart. We're not born with a bad heart. The heart starts initially very good, very positive. And as you look at the time of Noah, you see that in that time, the continued evil hearts resulted in a consequence. And that consequence was that the flood came, a worldwide flood came. In contrast to the evil heart, the Bible says that there can also be a heart which is filled with integrity. Perhaps, as we've gone through our life, there was an occasion, there was a time where we had the best of intentions. We tried to help someone. We tried to do what was right. We tried to be the best person that we could be. And as that situation unfolded, eventually it became clear that our good intentions, our best intentions, were not understood. Someone faulted us for a decision, for an action that we intended to be good, but it certainly did not turn out in that way. It is possible to have a pure heart. It is possible to have good intentions, but those intentions are not understood in a good way. That's precisely what we find in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 20, verse 5. If you were to read through this chapter, you would find that there was a king. There was a king by the name of Abimelech. And Abimelech encountered Abraham and Sarah. And Abimelech, in this encounter, decides to take Sarah. He does that. He has good intentions. His intentions are not evil at that point. And in Genesis chapter 20, verse 6, the Bible says that Abimelech received a message from God. And God said, I know the integrity of your heart. And he was getting into some trouble. But God said, I know the integrity of your heart. And that tells us that when it comes to the heart, we may have in our heart the best intentions. We may have what's right and good in our heart, but those intentions are not understood. In Genesis, we find different kinds of hearts. And the story about the heart continues as we deal with the second book of the Old Testament, and it is the book of Exodus. Most are familiar. One of the primary characters, I think, for most people in the book of Exodus is Pharaoh, the fellow who was in charge of the Egyptian bondage. And Pharaoh, according to Exodus chapter 4, verse 21, had a hard heart. When you think about a hard heart is a stubborn heart. That type of person may be told or shown what's right. But even though that person is told what's right, even though that person is given the correct direction, they refuse to change. In that stubbornness, they simply will not yield their heart to what's right. A hard-hearted person may refuse to not only change, but that hard heart, that stubborn heart says, I'm also going to refuse to forgive. There's something which is right, There is something which is consistent with the will of God, but I will not do it. Now, there are different reasons why a person may have a hard or a stubborn heart. One reason is perhaps pride. Some boast. Now and in the past, some boast about having a hard heart. I will not change. I am a stubborn person. I will not do this. I will not do that, regardless of who has said or believes I need to change, even God himself. But you know, the Bible does not speak highly or favorably about hard hearts. In the next book, the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 41, it is there that we read about uncircumcised hearts. Now, that's not literal. But an uncircumcised heart is a stubborn heart. And if you were to read that passage, Leviticus 26, verse 41, along with that stubborn heart, along with that uncircumcised heart, you'll see a word which is something like the word punishment. God is not favorably disposed towards uncircumcised hearts. Then we turn over to the book of Exodus, chapter 35. I'm not going to be reading from too many chapters today, but I do want to read from the 35th chapter of Exodus. It's here to give you a little bit of the background, that God's people were bringing some offerings to help make the tabernacle. Now, the God of heaven and earth, if he was able to create the heaven and earth, he was certainly able to provide a pile of building material. He would have been able to give everything that his people needed to build the tabernacle. But God didn't just instantly zap into existence all the building supplies for the tabernacle. In Exodus 35, we're told that the tabernacle, that portable place of worship, it was constructed, the materials were brought together by free will offerings. Thus, in Exodus 35:5, as the Bible talks about the offerings which were brought, the Bible says that there were willing hearts. Now, we've seen all kinds of hearts up to this point. There's the uncircumcised heart, and there's the heart that's filled with integrity. There are the evil hearts which may begin in youth, Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 5. But now we read about a different kind of heart. There is a willing heart. In life, as we go through life, there may be some occasions where certain actions are forced on someone. Certainly the God of the Bible has the power to force all people or any person to obey him. God's not chosen to do that. God has given free will to man. And ideally, we have the willing heart, Exodus chapter 35. And we decide of our own volition, our own will, to use that heart to serve God. In the same chapter, Exodus 35, verse 21, we once again find the word heart. But in verse 21, we have a new term. Moses said the hearts of some people were stirred. And that's an important word. The heart, the mind of an individual can be stirred, fired up, roused. In some cases, the heart's stirred to do good. In other cases, the heart is stirred to do evil. In this case, the hearts of people were stirred, the Bible says, to give. Now, in our country, we often see the stirring of hearts. After a disaster, after a catastrophe, hearts are stirred to give. We see sometimes after a mudslide, after an earthquake, after a hurricane, some kind of catastrophe, hearts are stirred to give food. We find good people who have their hearts stirred to give money. Or maybe their hearts are stirred in such a way where they decide that they're going to go out and give, donate some of their time, their manual labor, to help people. If the heathen are stirred to give, and they are, all we have to do is look at our culture. What about us? Will we, if we are the people of God, be stirred to give less, about the same, or stirred to give more? Day by day, if we're a Christian, we should feel stirred to give the most and the best we can to God. Now somebody says, well, you're just talking about money. Church wants more money. No, that's not the point. Willing hearts, think about the financial resources that they have for God, but that's really just a small part. Now, I said I wanted to read from Exodus chapter 35, and if you're there, and I know several are, that's great. Let's take a look at an unusual verse. This is about three-fourths of the way through the chapter, Exodus 35, verse 26. And all the women, all the ladies whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Now, I think if uninspired men were writing the Bible, they probably would have excluded Exodus 35, verse 26. Who would care about all the women spinning goat's hair? That's not the most exciting detail about the scriptures I read within the past week. When God's people have a willing heart, And with that willing heart, they are stirred to give. The Bible says he takes note of it. Even if they are working, spinning goat's hair. Now let's take that and relate that to our time. We're probably never going to spin goat's hair. But there are some things that might seem to fall into that same category. Suppose that we are finishing up after services. And we see some trash in a pew. Not a big thing. Maybe it's a Bolton. Maybe it's a candy wrapper. Who knows what it might be. And we decide that we're going to take that item. Somebody's got to pick it up. It needs to go in the trash at some point. And we decide that we're going to grab maybe that spear pin, maybe that piece of crumpled paper, whatever that might be that somebody's tossed, we're going to pick it up, and we're going to take it from the pew. Those doors need to be unlocked if people are going to come into the building, so we decide that's going to be our goat hair work. Or those doors need to be locked up after services conclude, that's going to be our spinning of goat hair. Or somebody says, I see that there are Boltons that need to be folded on Sunday morning. That's going to be my goat hair work. Or the communion elements that we just partook of, they need to be fixed, prepared. And that's going to be how I spin goat hair. Maybe it's going to be alerting the teachers to the fact that class has ended. Maybe our goat hair is going to be painting a classroom. Maybe it's going to be taking someone to a doctor's appointment. Nobody else will ever know. Maybe it's going to be babysitting a child. Maybe it's going to be 100 other things. You know what I learned from Exodus 35, verse 26? All the women involved in spinning that goat hair have been remembered by God and remembered by many others because they're mentioned in the Bible. Willing hearts who are stirred up to give in so many ways are beautiful hearts in the sight of God. Now we've seen information about various types of hearts from the first three books of the Bible. So let's go on to the next book of the Bible and take a look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 32, the verse is verse 7, and I'm not going to read that. The last verse that I'm going to read this morning is going to come from the book of Deuteronomy, and that's going to be Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 in a little bit. But in that fourth book, Numbers chapter 32, verse 7, we read about a different kind of heart. Here we read about a discouraged heart. In this chapter, we are told that it is possible to have a discouraged heart, and it's also possible to create, to generate a discouraged heart in the lives of others. When you look at a discouraged heart, you have a damaged heart. Now, maybe that damaged heart is temporary. Maybe that damaged heart is going to be permanent. It varies. But a discouraged heart is a damaged heart. The heart is an important part of who we are in the literal sense and in the physical sense, or in the literal sense and the figurative sense, the spiritual sense. Some, as they go through life, will do their very best to protect their heart. They'll take medicine for their heart. They have a heart problem, they're willing to undergo the knife with the surgeon, pay a lot of money for heart surgery. How sad. How tragic to have a heart physically which is so good. The doctor goes and says, you have a wonderful heart. Your test results could not be any better. But inside that body, the spiritual heart, which is the eternal part of who we are, is dead. We need to watch that heart. We need to watch that spiritual heart, lest it become overly discouraged. And that can happen. Care also needs to be used in damaging the hearts of fellow saints. When we think about the heart, and I'm certainly no doctor, but I do know enough about the physical heart to realize that it has multiple sections or chambers. There are four chambers in the human heart. And as I think about that fact, there is also a correlation that we can make to the spiritual realm. Multiple chambers in the physical realm. And sometimes a person in the spiritual realm says, well, I have this heart that God has given me as well. And in this heart, in this spiritual heart, I'm also going to have some chambers. I'm also going to have some sections. I like me. My life is really important to me, so I'm going to take out a good chunk of my spiritual heart, and it's going to be self. And maybe that's going to be the first part of my heart. That's what comes first. And yes, God's important. I don't want to completely eliminate him. But compared to self, I'm going to give God a little section of my heart. So I've not eliminated him, but he's also got a smaller part. And then there's the world over here, and I really like some stuff that goes on in the world. So I'm also going to, with my spiritual heart, self, world, and a little bit of God. And that's how I'm going to have my spiritual heart set up? Well, God knows how people think. And early in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 5, God gives us people some information about the heart, and here's what he says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God said, here's what you need to do. With your spiritual heart, you've got a lot of room. And he said, I need you to take that spiritual heart and I need you to wrap it around me. All your heart needs to be directed to loving God, 100%. Somebody says, well, that sounds like that's a challenge. How am I going to do that? The Bible tells us when we look at the word heart. A little later in the book of Deuteronomy, four chapters later, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says that the heart needs to be circumcised. Well, again, that's not literally possible when we deal with the spiritual heart, but God is saying you need to have your mind transformed. Your thinking has to be renewed. You have to begin heading in a different direction. The New Testament refers to that as repentance. God also said, as he talks about the heart, he says it is possible for the heart to be deceived. Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. And for many, that's true of them. They allow that spiritual part to be blinded, to be deceived, to be misled. But God says you can have a good heart. You can have a proper heart. You can have a heart which pleases me. How do we do that, God? The Bible tells us also in Deuteronomy 11, moving down now to verse 18. God says you lay up my word in your heart. And if you're willing to do that, love me with all your heart, love me with all your soul, love me with all your mind, and willing to take my word and lay it up, you're going to have a good heart. And then, just a few chapters later, same book, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17 as well. God says, as you take that word into your heart, as you seek to apply that word in your heart, don't turn away. It's really sad, but there are some people who will take God's word, and for time, it is the nearest and dearest thing to them. But then, for whatever reason, maybe in the later years, maybe they get the discouraged heart that we talked about earlier. Maybe some stubbornness and pride enters into the life, whatever it might be. But they decide at some point that they're going to turn their heart away. God knows that's a mistake. That's a deadly mistake spiritually. And God says, do not turn away your heart. But sometimes it's a young person. They turn their heart to God in the younger years. But then maybe friends, college, job, mate, kids, career, whatever it might be, they turn away their heart in the later years. People have heart problems, not only physically, but also spiritually. As you think about heart problems, and a whole sermon could be done on this as well, but as you think about heart problems, one heart problem, spiritually speaking in the Bible, is associated with the word hot. I don't know if you knew it, but the Bible says you can have a hot heart. And the passage that talks about the hot heart is also in that fifth book that we're looking at today, the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible, and I think most translations are either going to have the word hot or a very similar word. God says you can have a hot heart. Well, that would seem to be quite odd if we didn't have some context. And the hot heart there is hot in the sense of angry. It's hot in the sense of I'm really upset. It is a heart which is bent on getting revenge. Hate is likely in this kind of heart. But God says, I want you to circumcise your heart. I want you to change your heart. And if you will do that, same book, Deuteronomy, this time though, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, God says you can come away with a glad heart. You can have a content heart. You can have a happy heart. And God said you not only can have that glad heart, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, two chapters later, God says, this kind of heart will allow you to live. A heart which allows us to live. Who wants a heart which is going to kill them? Nobody wants that. But God says you can change your physical heart. And that's not going to do any good. But the spiritual heart, if you change that, you can live. The heart is generally going to determine the course of life that we live. It's generally going to govern our actions. And having the right heart allows us to be saved. Any other type of heart will allow us to be lost. Do we have a healthy heart? Hopefully in the physical realm we do. But in the spiritual realm, do we have a healthy heart? That's the question that we're asking, not only with this sermon, but it's the question that we're going to be asking with the invitation song. Is thy heart right with God? Let's think about that. And let's answer that question. Are we a Christian? Have we followed the steps given in the New Testament? If not, our heart can't be right with God. If we've not believed in Christ, we've got heart problems. If we've not tried to circumcise the heart, repent, we've got a heart problem. If we've not confessed that Christ is the Son of God, as we see the man in Acts chapter 8, we've got a heart problem. We're following the wrong Lord. If we've not surrendered our lives by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38, we still have a heart problem. If we follow those steps, and for some reason, God said, don't turn your heart from me. But if for some reason we have, we also have a heart problem. Singing the words in just a moment. Is our heart right with God? Let's think carefully about those words, and let's answer those words in the right way. Is thy heart right with God right now as we stand and sing?